I want to speak to you this morning about what I'm calling a song in the night. A song in the night from Habakkuk chapter 3 and verses 16 to 19. We have traced Habakkuk's journey in this book from a place of questioning, doubt, and confusion at the beginning of the book to a place of faith, hope, and confidence in God in these closing verses. We could say that the book of Habakkuk begins with a question and ends with a song. And in these closing verses, Habakkuk makes one of the strongest statements of faith that you will find anywhere in the whole Bible. Listen to what he says in verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no fruit, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. Now, we understand that Habakkuk is able to say that because we've seen that key verse in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, the just shall live by his faith. Do you have a real personal living faith this morning in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know the God of salvation? We live in a day and age where the best-selling Christian books seem to be the ones that tell you how to prosper, how to succeed, how to live the good life. But the book of Habakkuk challenges us this morning. The Bible challenges us to put our faith in God even in the difficult times, the hardest times, the worst of times. That's why these closing verses in the book of Habakkuk then have been described as a song in the night. A song in the night. It was a serious issue for Habakkuk. A day of trouble. It's a serious issue for us this morning in the light of all that's happened in 2020. God revealed to Habakkuk that his country was going to be invaded, plundered, ransacked. Habakkuk and the people would lose everything they'd built up over the years. Everything they'd worked hard for would be taken away. It would all be gone. And the book of Habakkuk challenges us then to learn to trust God no matter what is happening around us. Let's put the issue in the same terms Habakkuk faced. If the UK was invaded and conquered by a foreign power, would you still have faith in God? Is our faith strong enough to stand up to that sort of a trial? Could we rejoice in the Lord of salvation if we lost, in this world's terms, everything? Our job, our home, our family, our freedoms. Is our faith in God strong enough to trust in him no matter what is happening? That's the place where the book of Habakkuk brings us at the end of chapter 3. How do you exercise faith in God during the worst of times? Habakkuk challenges us about three things as we face even calamities in this life. So I want to look at this song in the night and see what we can learn for the strengthening of our faith. And the first thing Habakkuk says is, rest patiently in God. Verse 16, rest patiently in God. When I heard, my body trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. Habakkuk tells us to rest patiently in God in a day of trouble. Even when we're afraid, Habakkuk says, my body trembled, my lips quivered, rottenness entered my bones, I trembled. And yet, I can still rest in God in the day of trouble. God had told Habakkuk about the coming invasion by the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. God had described the arrogance, violence, and cruelty. The cruelty of this invading force. In chilling detail, Habakkuk lays it out for us. So Habakkuk the prophet knew what was coming. He knew the Babylonians were going to invade. He knew that many people would perish in the judgment that was coming. That the country would be devastated. That thousands, perhaps a Habakkuk himself, would be carried off as exiles into a foreign country. So he knew a day of trouble was coming on him and on the people. And Habakkuk is terrified. He is afraid. We read his heart pounds in his chest. His lips quiver. He feels physically weak, hardly able to stand. I mentioned earlier things that people are afraid of. Some of you have heard of the TV program, The Panic Room. The Panic Room is an entertainment so-called series on TV. People who have phobias are afraid, say, of spiders. Some of you may be afraid of spiders. And then in the panic room, there's this radical way of overcoming them. Overcoming the phobia. Well, here's the panic room multiplied by 100. Days of trouble that are coming. And we have faced days of trouble with this pandemic and all sorts of events. A lost job, a car accident, a broken home, the death of a loved one, lost health, dashed hopes, the agonies of some sort of physical or psychological or mental abuse. And yes, some of those things happen to Christians. So Habakkuk is telling us, and the Bible is telling us, let's be clear, just because you're a believer, it doesn't mean that everything in this world is always going to be rosy. If anyone tells you that, they are a false teacher. That's not what the Bible says. Habakkuk was a man of God. And yet he has to learn to patiently rest in God while the Babylonians were going to come and invade and conquer the country. This was an awful situation that he found himself in. No one dared tell Habakkuk that he was going to live his best life now. He knew he wasn't. So don't buy into false prosperity and word of faith teaching. There are days of trial which do come upon Christians in this world. And yes, says the Bible, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So how do you deal with fear, with trial, with trouble? What do you do when fear grips you in such a way that your heart is pounding? Do you say, oh, I'll just try positive thinking or deep breathing? Or just push it out of my mind? How are you going to exercise faith in God? Rest patiently in God during the day of trouble. Habakkuk says, rest patiently in God even when you're afraid. I trembled in myself that I might rest in the day of trouble, he says. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with his troops. There was no stopping this Babylonian invasion. But God had assured Habakkuk that he would as well judge the Babylonians for their sins. And that he would ultimately deliver his people. And so in the midst of his fears, Habakkuk chose to rest patiently in God. The word rest there, rest in the day of trouble, is the same word we find in the Ten Commandments, where God tells us to rest on the Sabbath day, which for us now is the Lord's Day. Sunday, the day of Christian worship. It's the same word we find in the Old Testament narratives about the promised land, where God promised to give his people rest from their enemies. Here Habakkuk patiently determines he's going to rest in God. He's going to patiently rest himself in the Lord. Listen to the New Testament applying that sort of truth. Even as we face days of difficulty in our day. Listen to how Philippians chapter 4 puts it in verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. This world won't give you this peace. Surpasses all understanding. Will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You rest patiently in the Lord. You're anxious for nothing. You rest patiently in Jesus Christ. Even in the day of trouble. So that's the first thing Habakkuk says. Rest patiently in God. And then he says something which in a way is even more extraordinary. Rest patiently in God. Rejoice joyfully in God. Verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Now, isn't that amazing? It's a beautiful passage, this, to memorize, to meditate upon, particularly in a day of trouble. These verses are one of the strongest expressions of faith you'll find anywhere in the Bible, as Habakkuk determines he's going to rejoice joyfully in God when everything in life around him seems to be going wrong. And Habakkuk paints three scenarios for us. Each scenario has a matching couplet of images. The first scenario, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. The blossoms on the fig tree and the grapes forming on the vine refer to the future. They're symbols of hopes to come. Just a blossom, just a grape beginning to form. But it's a sign that the figs are going to come, the grapes are going to come. But in this scenario, says Habakkuk, there are no signs for the future. The fig tree does not bud and have blossoms. There are no grapes on the vine. There are no visible signs that these things are ever going to come about. And maybe you have hopes and dreams for the future, but no visible signs that they're going to come to fruition. And maybe you feel like saying sometimes, God, please give me just a sign, an indication, some hope that things are going to change. And when we feel like that, we know how Habakkuk felt. And Habakkuk would tell us this morning, we have something to hold on to, even when there's no blossom on the tree, no grape forming. Hold on to God, he's saying. Not the circumstances. Hold on to God. Rejoice joyfully in him. And that will be enough. See, our problem is we live in a quick fix society. We want to relieve the pain right away. So we go looking for a band-aid when surgery is needed. God alone can satisfy our hearts. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone. When everything in the world is taken away, Habakkuk says, Christ alone. Though you have no visible sign of hope for the future. Nothing tangible that you can see or touch or grasp. You can still rejoice in the Lord, in the God of salvation, and in the salvation God has wrought in you through Jesus Christ, if he is your Savior this morning. See, this is why the challenge of personal faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior King is so important. This rejoicing in God only comes about for those who have a personal relationship with God through their faith in Jesus Christ, the one who's cleansed them from sin, clothed them in righteousness, brought them into the family of God. Is Jesus your Savior King? Then this second scenario, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food. Now the olive crop and the fields there refer to the present. Present means. But in this scenario, What you're hoping for the present lets you down. The olive crop fails. The fields produce no food. They disappoint. And the idea is, you have worked and planted and cultivated fields. You've worked the land, tended the crops, and it's time for harvest, and then the crop fails. It was all a deception. All that work, all that effort, and it comes to nothing. You get laid off after years of working hard in a job. You're let down by a relative or a friend or the church. You invest all your money and it all goes wrong. You put years into a relationship and the relationship breaks apart. What do you do when everything that you're counting on in the present suddenly comes crashing down? When you suffer bitter disappointments in life, Habakkuk says, you can still trust and rejoice joyfully in God, no matter what the circumstances. And then the third scenario is, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, they're symbols, if you like, of the reserves that you've built up. The past. But in this scenario, you've got no reserves to fall back on. There are no sheep in the pen. There are no cattle in the stalls. If we put it in today's terms, there's no money in the bank. There's no more equity in the house. Your credit cards are maxed out. Your reserves have all been used up. Now what are you going to do? When you've nothing to fall back on, Habakkuk would tell you, fall back on God. Go to God. He's the one who will hold you up. See, it's easy to trust in God when the fig tree is budding, when there are grapes on the vines, when the olive crop succeeds, when the fields are producing food, when you've plenty of sheep, plenty of cattle in reserve. But are you really trusting in God then? Or are you actually trusting in the things you have? Do we only trust in God when there's blessing in our lives? There's another way of looking at it, perhaps, which will help us to make it a sharp question in our lives. What would you rather have? Would you rather have £1 million in the bank? Or would you have the God who keeps his promises? £1 million in the bank? Or the God who keeps his promises? That causes us to think about it, doesn't it? And be brutally honest. Because if the answer is £1 million in the bank, then actually, you're not really trusting in God then. You say, I want £1 million, I don't need God. But that £1 million could be here today and gone tomorrow. But if you're trusting in the God of salvation, the God who promises to meet your daily needs, then no matter what happens, you can feel more secure than the person who has £1 million in the bank. That's trusting in God no matter what happens. Habakkuk is here rejoicing in God despite the visible circumstances, which look terrible. So Habakkuk is saying, though you have no visible hope for the future, and what you are trusting in the present has crashed, and you've no reserves to fall back on, still rejoice in the God of salvation. Because if Jesus Christ is your God and Savior, he will deliver you in his time, in this world or the next. You notice the reactions Habakkuk avoids here. He doesn't lash out at God in anger and say, God, you can't be trusted. Look what's happened to me. He doesn't pretend that all the evil isn't happening. He doesn't withdraw into a fantasy world. He doesn't say, this is so terrible, I can't even think about it. I'm going to close my eyes and think about something else. I'll sit in front of the TV. I'll stay away from church. I'll get drunk so I won't have to think about it anymore. perhaps you're in the UK, we should notice very carefully, Habakkuk does not even say, despite all this, I'll just keep a stiff upper lip. Those are not the right ways to deal with our fears. Habakkuk cannot see any visible signs of blessing, and yet he's determined to rejoice in the God of salvation. And even when we don't feel like it, we can still choose to rejoice in God. We can remind ourselves that he made us to find our deepest joys, solid joys, lasting treasures, none but Zion's children know. Our deepest joy is in God. God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. There was a German pastor called Dietrich Bonhoeffer who was put into prison by the Nazi regime in the 1940s for his Christian stance. And he was eventually unjustly executed just before the end of the Second World War. While he was in prison, he wrote to his fiancée, Maria. He wrote to her, he's in prison, it's likely he's going to be executed. You couldn't think of a more horrific circumstances. He writes to her, pain is a holy angel who shows treasures to men which otherwise remain forever hidden. But there is an even holier angel than the one of pain. That is the one of joy in God. Now here's a man in prison facing execution. There's an even holier angel than the one of pain, he says. That is the one of joy in God. He's rejoicing in God even in the most dark circumstances. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer's circumstances were just about as bad as you can get. But he was determined to worship God. So when we have sickness or pain or great trials, when we're going through difficulties and we decide we're going to worship God anyway, God is glorified. It shows the world that God is greater than our pain. God is greater than our trials. God is greater than the loss of things that the world thinks you must have to make you happy. How do you exercise faith in the worst of times? Well, you rejoice in the God of salvation and worship him even in the most dark of nights. So rest patiently in God, rejoice joyfully in God, and then thirdly, remain steadfast in God. Verse 19, remain steadfast in God. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. To the chief musician with my stringed instruments. So Habakkuk learns to find his strength in God, not in himself, not in his own resources, not in his own ability. Habakkuk was going to go through a very rough time, as was the whole country. The thought of it scared him so much. You remember, his heart pounded, his legs trembled, and yet he rejoices in God and he finds new strength in God. He finds strength from God to deal with the trial. And what is that strength that God gives? Habakkuk said, God will make my feet like deer's feet, and he'll make me walk on my high hills. So Habakkuk has got this picture of a deer running on a high mountain. Steady, sure-footed, uninhibited, unafraid, full of freedom and confidence as it bounces along and scales the heights. Do you long to enter higher places with God? Then you must find your strength in him alone. Trust God to lift you up when you are down. So as we read these closing verses of Habakkuk, we find that Habakkuk's journey mirrors our journey. Habakkuk began with a lot of questions. Does God care? Is God fair? Where is God? But instead of turning away from God and running away from God with his questions, Habakkuk kept bringing his questions to God. And then he found the answers that he needed. Don't run away from God when you've got questions. Take them to God. Habakkuk began his journey with questions in the valley of doubt. But in the end, he's rejoicing and he's scaling the heights with God. If we're going to be able to sing a song in the night, we're going to have to find the way to do it just where Habakkuk did, in the Lord. Not in circumstances, in the Lord. We must learn to rejoice in God more than in temporal pleasures and pleasant circumstances. The Lord must be our song in the night. And how is that to happen? Well, three applications really. First, make sure you know Jesus as your Saviour. Habakkuk can rejoice here because God was the God of his salvation. God has revealed that salvation to us when he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into this world. If you are going to be able to sing a song in the night, you must know Jesus as your Saviour King. That means you confess that you're a sinner, that you don't deserve forgiveness. But you trust and believe that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, into the world to live the life you cannot live, a life of perfect, righteous obedience to God. And then upon the cross, die the death you deserve to die, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In your place, he was condemned. And he sealed your pardon with his blood. And you say, hallelujah. What a saviour. My saviour. You call on Jesus to save you. Now that's the first and it's the vital step if you're ever to sing a song in the night. You must know that God is the God of salvation. So let me ask you again, is Jesus your saviour King? And then Habakkuk secondly says he will rejoice in the Lord. There was nothing for him to rejoice in his circumstances. But he could rejoice in the Lord. And the same thing is true for us. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, then you can have a song in the night. Because you focus on what you have in Jesus Christ. Even in the midst of difficult circumstances. Samuel Rutherford was a Scottish Puritan pastor. And he wrote to one of his church members who was going through a series of difficulties. And he reminds her of this issue of singing a song in the night by pointing her to her eternal hope. He writes to her, "This world never looked like a friend upon you. You owe it little love. This is not a field where your happiness grows. It is up above and before the Lamb. What you will never get here, you shall find there." What's he doing? He's telling her to rejoice in the Lord, isn't he? What you will never get here, you will get there before the throne of God and the Lamb. And we can do the same thing. In the most difficult days, we can sing of the eternal blessings that great God gives to all his people. When your earthly circumstances are not good, you can still sing a song in the night if you focus on the blessings that will be yours from all eternity. Rather than focusing on the things you don't have here on earth, you focus on Christ, the Lamb of God. And you say, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." I'm going to focus my hopes on Christ, my Saviour King, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. And then you enjoy your relationship with the Lord. That's the third thing. Habakkuk says, "I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." See, Habakkuk was not talking there primarily about the blessings he receives from God. He's talking about his personal relationship with the Lord. He's talking about that personal relationship with God. Habakkuk finds his joy in the Lord himself. Not in the gifts, but in the giver. And that's what we must learn to do, to find pleasure in God himself. I think this idea of singing a song in the night is an idea we could actually take very literally. In dark days, and especially in dark nights, that you sing a song to the Lord. It'll help you to draw near to him. That's why I've liked that new hymn that's based on that Heidelberg Catechism question. What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. It's a great help, a song in the night. It's another reason why what we sing in church is very important. It's important that we worship God here, but also then we learn songs that we can sing and carry them through into the week ahead, into the dark night sometimes. We make the song of the Lord our song in the night. Years ago, listen to Charles Spurgeon. He almost sums up the whole of the book of Habakkuk when he says, usually in the night of a Christian's experience, God is his only song. It is strange that when God gives his children mercies, they generally set their hearts more on the mercies than on the giver of them. But when the night comes, and God sweeps all the mercies away, then at once they say, now, my God, I have nothing to sing of but you. I must come to you, and to you only. And in a way, that's a summary of the whole book. When the dark night comes, the Lord himself must be your song in the night. When you've lost your health, then the Lord must be your song. When your heart is broken, then the Lord must be your song. When a loved one dies, then the Lord must be your song. When friends desert you, then the Lord must be your song. When you've lost your job, then the Lord must be your song. When your business fails, then the Lord must be your song. When your dreams are shattered, then the Lord must be your song. When your plans fail, then the Lord must be your song. When your prayers seem to be unanswered and you cry out, Lord, how long? But then still the Lord must be your song. When you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, then the Lord must be your song. When everything else in life has failed, when you've no other hope and nothing else in this world to stand upon, then the Lord must be your song. In the Anne of Green Gables series, Anne has messed up again dramatically. And she tells Marilla that she's in the depths of despair. And sometimes that's where we feel. Messed up, depths of despair. But Marilla says to her, to despair is to turn your back on God. To despair is to turn your back on God. Don't despair. Don't turn your back on God. What do you do in the dark night? Not despair. Not turn your back on God. You find out, if you have real faith in Jesus Christ, that you can still have a song in the night. And listen, if Jesus is your Saviour King, then he will be your song in the night. It's a test for you and for all of us this morning. In the dark hour, in the dark night, do you still have a song in the night? You say, my Jesus, my Saviour, my song in the night. You notice Habakkuk ends with these words, to the chief musician, with my stringed instruments. And someone here might say, well, that's an odd ending for this book. What kind of ending is that? Well, Habakkuk knew that a dark night was approaching. But he says, I have a God of salvation. God is my salvation. I will rejoice in him. He will help me. Even in this heart-rending dark night that's coming, I'm going to trust in the God of salvation. So I'm going to sing. So in other words, Habakkuk says, it's dark. It's night. Things are bad. But he says, let's get our instruments out and let's begin to sing our song in the night. Do you have a song in the night? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for those who have a song in the night, a song to sing of God's salvation, the wonder, the power, the majesty of God's mighty mercy and grace and love in his Son, Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we want all who hear your word today to know the joy of this salvation, the cleansing of Jesus' precious blood, Christ's righteousness put to their account by faith, so that they can come to God even in the darkest of nights and the darkest of hours, and still know, yes, I will rejoice in the God of salvation. We thank you, Lord, that's the testimony of many here this morning. In this dark time that the country has been through, 2020, what an unusual year it has been. And yet our testimony still is, in the night, we've been able to sing a song of joy and thanksgiving to God, a song in the night, trusting in Jesus, our Saviour. And he has never let us down. No, we often fail him, but Jesus fails us never, never. And no one has ever turned to him in faith, turned to him in repentance, and has been refused a hearing before the mighty God of heaven. So we come this morning. Pray, Lord, that you will help us. Help us to be able to sing even a song in the night, in the darkest night, to rejoice in the God of salvation. Oh, hear our prayers. Have mercy upon us. We come to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now we have a closing hymn, which will come up for us. And this is a great hymn of Luther's faith and trust in God as his mighty fortress, even in a dark night. It's a great hymn, this. Luther's Reformation hymn. We'll stay sitting, but we'll be singing it inwardly at least.
Yeah.
Let's ask God's blessing and hear the benediction. Lord, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. We bless and magnify your great name as the God of salvation. And we pray now for grace, mercy, and peace to rest upon each one of us. Grace from God the Father Almighty. Mercy revealed to us in God the Son and our Redeemer, our Saviour Jesus Christ. And peace, the peace of God, even which passes all understanding, through the work of the Holy Spirit, the promised Comforter. So we come to you, one God in three persons, the great God of salvation. Grant us to know your blessing this day and even forevermore. Amen.